This podcast was recorded on the lands of the Boon Wurrung people of the Kulin Nation, the land on which we're lucky enough to raise our sons and daughters. Always was and always will be Aboriginal land.
When I sat down to record this chat with my friend and the founder of Imeldo, Emily Dornbush, I warned her that I might sound a little bit more professional and a little less like me. But on listening back, it's actually the listeners that I need to warn, because this conversation is about as honest a depiction of making work work alongside motherhood as you'll get. We have a baby that magically discovered a cough just as the mother of two who's pregnant with her third sat down to join us. And you can only imagine the anxiety that that gave me. We have a tech failure that means we're very cozily sharing the same mic. And at the start of the interview, you can hear Posey feeding. There's background noise and a lot more chatter than you might be used to here, but I hope that it mirrors the sort of conversations we all have with the friends that we make through motherhood. There was so much of Emily's story that I've never heard, and it was really fun to get to know the version of her that existed before kids. She founded her jewellery brand during the glory days of Instagram and has enjoyed incredible success. But as money pressures have mounted, as her family has grown, she's recently taken on another paid role on top of running her business, raising two children and navigating her third pregnancy. Here we talk the sometimes harsh realities of small business, how she made the decision to seek employment outside of Imeldo, the ways the digital and retail landscape has changed, and what she's looking forward to as she gets ready to welcome her third baby. And she's actually giving our listeners 20% off her incredible collection. All you have to do is use code READY20 at imeldo.com. I'm Lucinda. This is Ready or Not. And here is the colourful and candid Emily Dornbush.
Emily Dornbush, we are firstly in Ray's bedroom because there's construction works outside. I've got Posey on the boob. We've just spent about half an hour setting up because I didn't know what I was doing. We're also incredibly close because we couldn't get the second mic working. But to start, I want you to take me to your fantasies. So I recently hosted a Mother's Day talk that you were on the panel of, and I asked everyone what their dream kid-free holiday was. Tell us about your two-pronged kid-free dream holiday.
Okay. Well, for starters, I was able to drink before talking about that. And I was really, you know, that was a bit nerve-wracking.
Didn't seem nervous.
I didn't seem nervous at the time, but I'd had a bit of Dutch courage then. Look, I've told you I've been targeted by Switzerland on Instagram.
The whole country
is targeting me and it just gives me, and I'm like, is this AI footage? It looks so dreamy. But Switzerland is where I want to go. But then I was also like, I never lived my proper 20s Europe travel life because I've always had boyfriends and jobs and just never the care. But now I want to do it in my 30s and I'm going to go to a German sex party. But I'm not getting involved. I'm just going to be the fly on the wall. Like, I just want to witness the chaos that is the German sex party world.
That's brilliant.
Have you been to Germany to know what I'm talking about?
I've been to Berlin.
The scary shit
that happens there. I've actually been to that. What's that famous club called? And it was just after Gay Pride. I can't think of the name of this club. It's like the famous club that everyone's scared to go to there. And it was actually unbelievable because it was after the Gay Pride Day or March, and I saw some unbelievably colourful
things.
Not the
one where Jane ended up on the boat going in between the clubs. That's
probably.
That story.
That was a great story.
Yeah.
I'm going to get out of this recording and remember what this club is called. If anyone remembers, DM me and let me know if you have also been. Gee, that person is different to the one sitting here
can
today.
Can we just flag that I'm not saying I want to get involved in the weird stuff? I'm just saying I just need to experience some culture of the German world.
With a capital K.
And I mean, you know, that's my heritage, right?
Yeah.
No wonder I need to know.
Yeah, of course.
I just want to go over, have some bratwurst, and then head to the party. Drink some beer with three kids by that stage. So, yeah, I don't know how we're doing it. But anyway, also the fantasy was also getting on the plane by myself.
Yes. I used to think that flying for 24 hours was hell. Now I want to be trapped on a long-haul flight with no kids.
And a big plane that has like a bar and like pizza slices, like not Jetstar going to Bali.
Pizza slices. She's a simple gal, very easily kept happy. Let's take it back to the start. You leave school I don't actually know how old you are when you start Imeldo. What happens in between those two things?
Well, you might have
heard that on the microphone. Who was that? Posey is doing some ripper farts.
And she's staring at me all doing that. That's what would happen in Germany.
And Em's also holding Posey's foot. I cannot tell you how close quarters we are.
She's not that long either. All right. So I finished school and I went to an all-girls school that was like, I don't know, everyone just did really well and really loved studying. And
were you
I
academic?
Did not love that. Look, probably wasn't the right school for me, but it's okay. I probably did better because I was pushed by other people, but I did not get like an enter score that I wanted to get, and I felt like I had to get into some kind of medical field or something because that's what everyone was doing there. Ended up originally getting into midwifery, which is so
gross. I've never noticed about you.
And health science.
Okay.
So like got into those two things.
And then one at Monash, I'm going to start a midwifery.
Midwifery was at ACU. I actually did do midwifery, but it wasn't a double degree. Which anyone that's done it would understand that you did nursing and midwifery. This was like, okay. So people had graduated nursing or might have been older and then had gone into midwifery.
Okay.
And so they were just in the know of like how to work in a hospital. And I literally went to 1 week of lessons and I dropped out and we didn't tell my mum. My dad was like, fuck that. You don't need to go. Cause he was like, you don't want to do that. And I think he was like, do something not like that. But I was like, no, I do want to do it. And I mean, like, in hindsight, it would have been great job security and a great job. But like,
it's a good job with mumming, isn't it?
Yes,
I always think that.
I appreciate everyone that does it, but I don't think I could have done it. Like, and I mean, the first task we were set was to like follow a pregnant journey. And I was 18 and all the other people in my class were older. Like I was a little bit of a mature age student class. So there was like over 30s and stuff. And I didn't know anyone that had had a baby or was pregnant. And yeah. It was the most daunting thing. So, yeah, that's why I dropped out of that and then took a year off, did not travel, did not go to Germany and probably should have.
Could have got yourself involved in the sex
parties. Could have had a different story of my dream holiday. And then I got into media communications at Deakin, which I loved. And I probably also wish I actually had followed through with that because I think I could have actually had a much broader options of the job world, which I am interested in still. But I then, after the year of being there, which I also loved Deakin, but the destination, like you had to drive.
Yeah.
Do you know Deakin Burwood? Like yes. Location wise, you're not getting the train, you're not surrounded by the CBD bars culture yeah. of the club. Like, you know, it was a different.
You weren't going to RMIT.
Yes. And then, like, I did love that. And then I got into VM and store design at RMIT, which was a TAFE, not a uni course, but it was so much better. Like I just got there and I like went to the city campus and it was so fun. And that was 2 years full time, 5 days a week. And my boyfriend at the time was at the same uni. Like it was all very fun. And you know, like I then moved into the city, like right near the CBD, and it was good times. But in that time, I was working at a little store in Blairgowrie called White Nest,
yes.
but the original White Nest. And it was, I kind of felt like the store that they didn't, those kind of homeware stores just didn't exist back then, I don't think. And it was one of the first and it was so fun. And then I had started this jewelry label just on the side. Like I've always been like very crafty, but not a craft mum, like crafty yeah. for my own fun, but I'm not here doing arts and crafts with the kids.
I forgot about Book Week this morning after we talked about it yesterday.
Oh, yeah, Hildy wouldn't wear a costume anyway, so I'm glad I didn't make it
yeah.
because I hate even cooking, let alone that's crafty enough. Like, can you, and then not eating and then not wearing the costume that you yeah. spent all day? Absolutely yeah. not. So I started this jewelry label random, but I was working at White Nest and then they were just like, we'll stock it. Let's just pop it in the store. And I was like, okay, cool, this is fun. And this is when I was like a very rope jewelry necklace thing. And
how old are you here just quickly?
I'm 21.
Wow. So you're super young.
Yes. So I've already, and I'm in the second year of uni, I think, or TAFE, like RMIT, but I'm 3 years in kind of because I've done 1 year at MediaCom and then got in. And then the same over that course that I'm working there, they got a feature on the design files, which back then getting the feature on the design files, it was, it's obviously still a great big thing, rewarding, amazing for your business to get done. But I think they focus a lot more on houses and stuff now, whereas they're spending a lot of time on small businesses.
Yeah.
And so they got featured and I got featured through there. And then from that, Design Files did a whole feature on me, which was, and it was like,
I have to go find this. I've never seen this. And I would have known you then. We weren't friends, but I would have known who you were and your business.
Yeah, it was, so it would have been about 2020. No, that was 2023. Yes, I worked at YNS for 2 years.
Funnily enough, it's the Design Files. Not much, but I did random jobs for us.
I was in the Design Files open house. You remember that? The first one they did. And it was so good, the feature that.
Yeah.
So I was like, that was 2023, the feature, because I remember I was overseas. I had been to Disneyland that day. And the article came out and my mum was doing all my shipping for me. But I still was like, I can't even remember. I must have been working at a restaurant still. I was at uni. I was doing this for fun. And then it just, I got heaps of wholesalers. So like that was, it was just all happened.
Did you feel like
I did a lot of collaborations as well with big brands like Cotton On Foundation. Wow. And like they paid for me to go to Uganda and like teach.
Oh, my word.
Yeah, it was crazy. Like, wow. I flew to Uganda with Cotton On to, like, make a whole range with the Ugandan women. Wow. And, yeah, it was crazy. So there were so many good opportunities that I didn't search for.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, I was like, I'm not doing this full time. This is just, like, this weird side hobby that just happened to have gone really well.
Yeah.
And also Instagram was, you know, back then if you'd hit 10K followers, like, you'd authentically hit 10K followers.
Oh,
you
hadn't,
like, you know, now, like, there was no influencer either. So I think everything was just so legit about the whole experience. And
you were like the perfect time to launch on Instagram.
Yes. And I think because I was a brand that was launching on Instagram and I was younger, that it all just worked out for me.
Yeah.
And then I knew how to build a website and do all these other things, which didn't come so naturally or easily for other people, which I think that's also a lot of false hope went into other people a few years later where they're like, oh my God, this is so easy. You've done it. But I'm like, oh, no. And I mean, it was booming then.
Yeah.
I was also, so after my RMIT course finished, I didn't do any of it. Well, I'd interned doing styling with, I don't know if you know Jason Grant, but I'd done with him.
Yeah.
And then I was in the freelance styling world. So I was like mainly doing a lot of Maya jobs and mainly based out of Port Melbourne, but I was like an assistant to just like heaps of great people.
Wow.
It was so fun. And I still say, I'm like, that was like the best job ever. It would be so hard navigating like with shoots and stuff because it's not just like a full-time job.
Yeah. And it's and like God, any my day pay, of the week.
I reckon my pay was pretty decent just to be an assistant back then.
Yeah.
For my age as well. Yeah. I mean, you were freelance back then. So I was like freelance worker from the age of 23. And then doing Imeldo. So it was just always doing my own thing. So I kind of had never had a boss other than when I was like working at restaurants and stuff like, you know, at night. And then after a while, I'd met Cohen and he was from Torquay and we were like, let's move in together. I'll move to Torquay. And I was like, I'll just go for a job at Cotton On head office. And then kind of moved around there a bit, but ended up in like my dream job as a creative specialist for Cotton On Kids, which was like heading up all of their campaigns. Well, they're photo shoots for the kids brand for each country. So it was full on because you were shooting every single month with like 8 kids. There was 4 brands within Cotton On Kids and it was a great job, but I was still doing Imeldo on the side.
Wow.
But I was finding it was like they were both competing with each other. But, you know, I didn't have kids and it was like such a different time. And again, I would love to still have that job. But 2017 rolled around, we'd bought over in Rye here. And I'm from down here originally and Colin was about to come and do the sea change with me and I was like, I can't stay at Cotton On. We booked a 3-month holiday and I was like, I'm just going to go do Imeldo full time, which then I was not terrified about it. And so I went all in and we built a studio at the house, but like I just wasn't scared because our mortgage repayments weren't high and it was all fine and Imeldo was going so well. I was paying myself like a really decent full-time income. I'd employed someone.
Would you tell us what that is? I'm intrigued. You don't have to.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like it was deep. Okay. I'm working for myself for the first year ever and I was paying myself like $1,100 a week.
That's pretty good.
Plus having someone else work for me because I couldn't do the work for that. Do you know what I mean? Like I could have put in more hours and paid myself more, but we were also paying ourselves rent. So we were like gaining more money each week and I was paying for my car through it. So essentially on top of that, it was like $1,600. Like it was a lot of money given our mortgage repayments were about $400 a week back then. So like And we were just, and then, you know, I got married and had a, got pregnant in 2019, and I ended up doing a Meldo like that for 6 years. And from 2017 till last year, it was my full-time job with employees and yeah. But I mean, I always like freak out that I'm like, shouldn't just be working for myself. That like, and I'm also like, I don't know if I want to do this when I'm like, what if I still need to be working when I'm 60 and I'm still trying to make this work? Like, I'm like, I think I need to have more experiences. And I don't know. I don't know if you've been like that, but like, go, I don't, it's working for yourself. Sometimes you like freak out and you're like, I need to be getting a reliable income from someone else. And I mean, COVID was an absolute peak for me. We did so well because so many people were supporting small business, whether it was my business or other stores who are my wholesalers that are all small businesses. So my wholesale is booming. My online was booming. I had so much money to spend on digital marketing. Yeah. So I was seeing like the return on that, which has also changed a lot. Like the advertising space, like, you know, it costs way more to advertise and be targeting, you know, it's just a complicated world on there now. And yeah, I mean, I rode the wave for a very long time, but we've all seen like a bit of a crash and like people spending went down. And it was, so last year after I'd had Hildy, so second child was born, I think I lost a bit of like interest in it. I was like, I love this, but also our mortgage repayments went higher and I was like, oh my God, what am I going to do? What if this all turns to shit? And so I was like, perfect opportunity. I'm just, if I find a job that suits me and they want me and it works out, I'm just going to go for it and we're just going to see how it goes. And I applied for a few and we weren't stressed about me not getting a job. We were living with my mum and dad because we were building our house. It was all chaotic. And then I started a job for someone else, like working. It's one thing working for yourself and it being paid work. And it is obviously, it's, you are full time in your head. Like, I've got to do this. I've got to do this. I've got to do this. I was like so excited to start working for someone else and my work was when I was there. But then yeah, I also
clock off.
Was still clocked on with the Meldo because it's never ended. It wasn't like I was closing that off. And I mean, it's still going really well. It's just that my ATO repayments, I have like a very large payment plan. So a lot of money at the moment is going to this payment plan. So once payment plan down, I've still got my car through the business. I still pay myself a wage. So I have essentially two jobs. But working for someone else has, one, been like a great learning, but it was like very nerve-wracking going to a job and working for someone after. The last time I'd worked for someone else was Cotton On. I had no kids. Sick leave. I didn't need to use my sick leave on sick kids. I barely used sick leave then, and now I've used so much sick leave on this new job, and I feel so guilty about having a sick day when it's not for me.
What about the ego thing of, I have this business that's been very successful. My friends all know it's been successful and now I'm taking a job elsewhere. Was there any ego involved of how that looked or how you felt about that?
Yeah, I was like, I think that was like a real identity crisis moment because I still think, yeah, I think it was like a real identity crisis with starting working for someone else and not just for myself because Imeldo is, everyone also thinks that I am the brand and like it is very reflective of me, but people also can't disassociate that like sometimes I don't love everything that the brand does. Like just because I'm the owner, it doesn't mean that every, I do things, make things that I might not necessarily wear, but I know it works well. Like, so it was a little bit, and I do think if it ends one day, if I was to close it down, I'm going to have like a major identity crisis because I'm going to be like, I've always worked for myself. Everyone always asks how it's going and I like won't have that. But then at the same time, part of me would feel very free from not having a business, which doesn't sound that motivating to anyone that has one. But I think when you've had it for so long and like now we have a third kid coming, I'm just like, I want a break. But also working for someone else has made me realize that working for yourself is great. So like there's just, I wish that you just didn't have to deal with the ATO.
Can the ATO please call in and solve these problems for Em?
Can you sponsor me and just like cover
sponsor this podcast and sponsor Em?
Look, the payment plan means it must be going okay, seeing as the payment plan is so huge because and I just paid my BAS today and actually had the money for it. So look, that's a good thing. Yeah. But yeah, it's a real, you get really torn, I think, because you're like, I need to work for someone else and like learn more and do more, but then you're like working for yourself when you have kids is so like much. Epic when it's epic.
Yeah. It's but good it's, when it's good and it's bad.
But you've got to, you can never switch off.
Yeah.
And I think that is the issue because you go on a holiday and you're like, who's going to, for me, I'm like, who's going to post stuff? And I currently don't have another employee because she went on mat leave and had twins and that is so fine. But also I'd rather pay off my payment plan than pay someone else's wage right now. Just need to get this payment plan out of my fucking way.
You're in like a, and so many businesses are, it's a very sticky time to be a business owner, isn't it? Like just yes. in the current economy.
Yes.
And what we've been through the last few years with COVID and now rising interest rates, you're painting the picture of it being a really difficult time to be in business.
Yes. And it's, you know, like there is so many perks of it, but like, I don't know, like we've brought the studio back home and it was so good when you can have your own space. But when I did have like a little pop-up store for a while there, like you have to be there full time. And
yeah.
again, you want to be with your kids and it's just a confusing time. But look, it's not going anywhere. I'm going to have a third child and it's going to still remain. But it's also like, when do you go back to paid work after you have three kids? I've got to navigate that one.
So let's get into kids now. So Smith is five, is that right?
Yeah,
he'll be turns five in November. So talk us through Emily that has newly fallen pregnant, booming business. How are you feeling during that time about motherhood in general, just about becoming a mum, but also about how on earth you're going to run that business as a new mum? What's going through your head then?
Well, yeah, so we got pregnant right after we got married and we were, as I say, like we were living in this house in Rye and we didn't know at the time that our mortgage was so low.
Yeah.
Like a third of what it is now. And I mean, it was exciting because like I had the time to go to all the appointments in the middle of the workday because I was working for myself. We built this epic studio out the back and like it was all, Connor just got into the fire brigade. So he's like on a rolling roster of 2 days, two nights on 8 day cycle. So he's only at work 2 daytimes of 8 days. So he's around a lot. So we weren't, there was no stress at all whatsoever. I went in blind to having a child. Like I'd had a lot of friends have kids really young. And I don't know if that comes from me and Cohen both growing up in like smaller coastal towns. People seem to get married really young and have babies really early. So I don't know. I felt late to having a child. I was not, but compared to, I had some really close girlfriends that had were well and truly like, you know, 2 years ahead of me. And yeah, so I mean, I was ready, but we couldn't have predicted that we were then going to have a newborn at 4 months in COVID, like the deep start of lockdown.
Cozy.
And as we all know, Rye was part of Metro Melbourne, so.
Which is the greatest injustice
I know,
of all time.
I love walking to Flinders Street every day. Catching the train.
And it was the trams in Rye. So it's annoying. Very busy down here.
So, yeah, I mean, it was honestly, I went in so blind being pregnant.
So you were just excited. Were you not thinking how on earth will I actually, because you hand make or at least did at that point, didn't you? You hand make everything.
But I was also like the studio's at home.
Yeah.
The baby.
And Cohen's around a bit. You'll just
like,
make it work.
It'll be fine. And I was like, I'll still dedicate work days because Cohen's there. We can feed, and I mean, it worked so well in lockdown because then we were trapped at home, but my workplace was already at home. Cohen was still allowed at work because he's emergency services. Yeah. And then we just had one little baby and he was very good sleeper and like it was quite good. He did give us a real false sense of hope though because Hildy rolled along and messed, you know, she was not
and
the angelic sleeper like Smith
shake
was.
The cage a bit.
Yeah, she shook things up.
So Smith is, I think around 2 and a bit when you fall pregnant with Hildy.
Yes, so I would have been, he was 2. I reckon we found out around when he was 2 because they're 2 years, 8 months apart.
Okay. And how are you feeling then? Are you feeling that it's going to be a similar experience or are you a bit more nervous about round 2 of making work as a business owner and mum?
Yeah, it was different because we didn't have the studio at home. So we'd sold that house in lockdown, which was great because for anyone else that sold a house on the peninsula in lockdown, you
were
making
really lucky
quite
with
good
that
money.
Too. Yeah, we were really lucky.
So, and then we rebought in a great spot, but we didn't have space to put the studio. So I was then renting a space. So already it had become harder because I was having to leave the house and I wasn't really taking a 2-year-old to a studio that like touching things. I mean, taking a two-year-old to work anywhere.
Yeah, like a four-month-old in a lot of ways, if you have a good, like good in inverted commas, if you have a settled four-month-old, that's easier than a two-year-old any day of the week. 100%.
But like taking him, it was hard because, you know, he wants to touch everything, but also my husband can't take him to work. He can't rock up at the fire station with a two-year-old. Like, so it's always on me. And that's another thing when you work for yourself, I think, is that, well, I don't, it depends on what your partner does, but like there isn't a lot of flexibility on the other person taking the child to work all the time. So he was coming with me. And then if I wasn't able to get into the studio, I wasn't able to work. So I could bring things home if I really needed to, but this is when I did rely on employees. But at the same time, if it was still going really well, but like it is harder to then be paying someone else knowing that you could be paying yourself.
And like you need the money more because you have a second child coming.
Yes. And so it was a little bit pending doom in a way because we had no idea what was happening. We knew our house was going to start getting built at some stage. We're going to have to move to my parents, which is 40 minutes away. Kinder had started for Smith that year, a newborn, a business. That's where it started to get a little unstuck, I think, yeah. And mainly just or made us question what the F we were doing because it was hard to manage. So we now have the studio back home, but it's made a world of difference having it at our house. Mm. And we've realized that because, yeah, trying to – and at that same time, once Hildy was born, I decided to open a store at, in my inverted commas mat leave. I didn't really have mat leave, but the government still paid me. I had mat leave, but did I really utilize it and have time off? No. And I never have. But
so talk to us about that timeline. So you open a store, you're having another baby. How the hell do you do all of that?
I had the baby and then I was like, the space became for it was a co-working space that had a storefront. So the space downstairs, the storefront became for rent. And it, so it's in an industrial area. Like Rosebud Industrial it's a busy place, but like there's no foot traffic going through. What happens when you open a little store space, doesn't matter if it's a pop or not, is you need to have opening hours. And so I had the studio working in the store. So you could watch us making, and I had two employees there then as well, plus paying rent, plus the rest of it. So like it was going well, but like having the man, you know, manning a space and like I often work at night and so then me having to drive down to a studio space and work at night and it's all very well to think you can bring stuff home but like everything is there. If I've forgotten one tiny thing, like I actually can't continue to work. So
and the logistics of kids too, you want to like minimize all of that stuff because once you have kids, you're moving, if you're going to stay somewhere,
yeah,
you're moving stuff everywhere. So I think you become not lazier but you just want to simplify your life. You don't want it to be hard like that.
Yes, and what I've just found is that just having it all in one spot is actually easier. Kids, work, whatever, it's all chaotic, but it's going to be chaotic either way.
Yeah.
And yeah, so the store didn't last long. It probably lasted 7 months. It was like a pop-up, but Hildy was about 3 months when I opened it. And I mean, it just felt fun though, because I'm like, I've always wanted to do it. And it's not like, I would still say do it. It was great. I just think you really forget about the man hours and how many people want you to be open. And as you know, the peninsula, lots of places that aren't reliable at being open. Yeah. And it's not ideal. And people that have driven far, because around the peninsula, you are driving and then you're not open. You're kind of annoying people and you're letting people down. So I was always saying that we weren't open certain days, but then I'd be open because I was in there. So why wouldn't I be open? And then if one of my kids was sick, I was like, I'm not bringing him into the studio. So yeah, it was hard. But like at the same time, I was still able to, I don't know, a friend catch up for coffee because I was only working for myself still. So I could do anything in the middle of the day without, you know, you're not working for someone else again on their hours.
So then talk to us about deciding to take another job. Where are you at in your postpartum journey with Hildy and how do you go about it? Are you just applying for jobs or did it just come to you through word of mouth?
So Hildy was probably like, she was one, actually. It was the same week. So I'd done the pop-up store for 7 months. We were still living at mum and dad's. We had started building our house. And I think it was because of the distance of where my studio was because I was at mum and dad's 40 minutes from where my studio was. I was having to drive down, do daycare drop-offs, blah, 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 go to the studio down here. And then I'd have to spend the whole day without a home base, like never going home. If Hildy needed to come to work with me, she was coming to work with me for the entire day. And then she started daycare. So it was I could have set work days, but we didn't have a house. Like, it was just all a bit much. And I just got so over it. And I think that's where it made me think, I want to work for someone else. This will be much easier. So I started looking around at kind of, I didn't even know what I was looking for. I was just like, something's going to pop up. The right thing will pop up. And when I see it, it will pop up. And I'll just apply.
Manifest.
Yeah. I was like, manifest it. I don't know what I was manifesting, but I was like, good vibes job. Something kind of creative, mainly good people. Like, I was just like, I don't want to go and get some.
It was sort of like a low stress but creativity that you're looking for. Like the opposite of how you'd felt with the pressure of your business.
Yes, and I wasn't really stressed about the pay. I was kind of like, I just want to kind of get some experience in here. If I love it, imagine this leads to something amazing. Like, let's just see. So I applied for this job. It was kind of like, it's a clothing store, clothing brand. They do so well. They have an online store. They have physical stores. But it was very fun going and applying for some and going to somewhere that, you know, like, they were all in a good spot. They are in a good spot, I guess. I can't talk for them. But, like, my job was to go in and do kind of send out their emails to their database, but create the emails, create their ad content for digital advertising, make content, go to their photo shoots and capture stuff. Like, just kind of like content, but everything, just honestly anything. Some days I'm there and I'm like, hey, can I just like pack waters for an hour and just like do mindless
things?
Just want
to do something mindless. My kids talk to me like, all the time.
It's fun.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's a great team of people. It's all women and it's a small business and it's great, really. Yeah, I go there 3 days a week now. It is still
hard. You're busy. I didn't ask you were there 3 days a week.
Yeah, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
And then how many hours would you say you're
They are very flexible. They're like, you can work from home one day, you can do this. But I do have to always also manage that, like, sometimes I actually need to be there.
Yeah.
Which, so I generally go in there because it's also, I'm away from my children.
Yeah. It's nice. I love getting space from, and also,
and
just
I don't
your
have a
space.
Little baby right now. So, like, I'm like in that good spot of like, Hildy's 2, Smith is 4. Like, I mean, we're about to have another baby. But I then do Mondays is Imeldo and pretty much every night possible is Imeldo.
Wow.
Because I still have a really good wholesale and online still goes well. It's so just that my money is getting shifted in different directions at this point.
Yes. When you say you work at night, how many hours are you doing a night? I want the nitty gritty.
Probably like 3, but not every night. But like if Cohen's on a night shift, I reserve the nighttime jobs to be things that I can get done during the, I don't know, like I use my daytime more wisely. Just like I have to get to the Auspost. I have to like do certain things and like, I glue things and the glue takes 24 hours to dry. So they have to like think about these. So that has to be done at night so that the next day I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
Or I'll get up at like 5 a.m. and work for 3 hours before the kids wake up.
I mean, how many hours do you think you're putting into Imeldo each week?
Probably like 13.
Yeah. So you're pretty much working full time then, essentially.
Yes, I'm working. Well, essentially
full time hours.
Yes. And so it's 3 full days at the other job and then Imeldo is every other breathing moment, I say. But
and are you thinking about Imeldo all day, every day, even if you're not consciously working?
Yeah, because I'm like, have we had sales today? Where are we at? What money's coming in? What money's coming out? Like, it's more about moving money and cash flow at the moment. But it is – it's a love-hate, but we're, as you know, we're selling our house and we're looking for another house. And that's probably the biggest – killer right now is that you have to think about, you've got a room for your kids, you got the baby, blah blah blah, but then you've got the other baby that is your business that needs space, and I can't just rock up and throw this stuff in a cupboard. Like it takes up a whole room. So like we're looking for a house now and I'm like, oh my god, we're gonna have 3 kids and a business, so that's 4 kids that we're taking with us. And it's just,
and you want to free up a bit of
can
cash,
people stop asking
you?
Me if I want a dog, because I don't want a dog. How am I going to have a dog with these 3 kids and a business?
Oh.
Anyone that has a business and 3 kids and a dog,
wow.
Good for you.
That's you don't even like dogs, really.
I know. Yeah. Can't say that out loud, can we?
People are asking him about dogs. They obviously don't know you. I want to know, when you were applying for that job, were they asking you why you wanted another job? Because I feel like this is another part of an ego piece of when you put something out there into the world that's you or that people brand – or that people brand as you, were they then intrigued as to why you wanted to add more to your plate?
Yes, they were like, are you legit? Like, how, if you think your business isn't going so good, why are you coming to us? But at the same time, I was like, No, it's more that I just need a change of scenery.
Yeah.
So to learn more and to also, I don't necessarily want to be doing my own business for the rest of my life.
Because I think a lot of mums would be in this position. That's why I ask, because I think it would be a bit of a way up of, I don't know, ego and identity, and then also the logistics of it and deciding if it was right for you.
Yeah, I think with Imeldo as well, though, I've had it for so long. Like, I could happily sign off tomorrow and I'd just be not present online. Like, I dream of it some days. And I'm like, or like be scrolling for scrolling's sake and not
for to think about content and all that stuff.
Hate making content for my own brand. I find it, I could do it for anyone else. Someone could pay me to do it for their brand and me not be in it, but like I can work out what you need. But doing it for yourself is just something.
So much
sometimes
pressure.
Because I'm like cringing at myself. I'm like, oh, this I cringe is so all the time.
And we've just started to put ourselves out there a little bit more because apparently that's what you have to do to grow. Mm. And it's so uncomfortable, which is so funny because when you post like a outfit reel, I love it.
I know.
I would never judge you.
And that's
but
why
I, would judge
I have
myself.
To keep doing these things. But then I'm like, is it selling? No, it's just getting me engagement, which is still great.
But that still leads
but
to
then
sales.
I was like, oh, God. Engagement. Do I really need it? Yeah. Do we need
I actually want to disengage.
Yeah.
Speaking of disengaging, I could talk to you forever, but we've got about 5 or 10 minutes left. Okay, let's reframe this because I was about to start with the negative there, but I want to do the positive and the negative. Thinking about your third baby coming, which I think is in January.
Yep.
What are you most excited about and what are you most stressed about?
Well, that is so easy to answer for me right now because first of all, I'm most excited about mat leave and the timing. Like it's a January, end of Jan, due baby. So I'm having all of Jan off. Smith will be on holidays before he starts prep. And I'm like, we are having 30 days off together and we're having ice cream and hot chips and we're going to the beach and like we're just having a great time. And I'm sending Hildy to daycare and I'm not working and it's going to be like a holiday for me. So I'm so excited about that in terms of having a third child. The baby won't even be here yet and I'm excited about having time off. It's probably like I'm thinking in my head this is going to be a really great time. It could just not turn out that way at all. What if the baby decides to come early? Please don't.
Please don't, baby.
And then probably most nervous about after the newborn stage has ended and we kind of get back into like a routine of life and how I'm going to do school drop off because I'm going to be a full-time stay-at-home mum with a business again, not working for someone else for a little while and kind of navigating once my mat leave payments end, working for myself for a little bit. And I think hopefully by that stage our house is sold and we won't be relying so much on me having a full-time income. But it's just like what happens after that and we haven't really got a plan there, but we kind of just need to see how it pans out because we've never had a school-aged child either. And school hours are, you think it's a long day, but now I know what you can achieve between 9 to 3.
It goes
and
quick.
It's going to go fast.
Yeah.
Because 9 o'clock drop-off, like, you know, you do early daycare drop-off like me. I'm like, you can't just drop them at 7:30
and hope
that they're going to get breakfast.
Yeah. And it's like a hard finish too and a hard start.
Yeah.
Like
and
you
I've
need
got to make
be
lunch
before,
every oh, day.
Don't
I struggle
talk to
with
me
three
about
days
that.
Of lunch. He just eats ham and cheese wraps every day. And I'm like, are you going to eat anything different for school?
Yeah. Or is this just it for
is
us?
This
maybe
it?
Just
is this
stick
my future?
To it. That might be a good God. Mode.
His digestive system. It. Yeah. So that's our time. And I'm so excited to have a third and kind of embrace baby stage a little bit more because my postpartum with the other two has, whilst the first was great before COVID hit us, you know, it was busy time. It was November. It was then Christmas. It was January. And then it was COVID. And so like it all did go very fast. And then Hildy we had and then we moved house into my parents.
Totally
and it's
of
kind
it,
of like I feel like this might be the first time that hopefully it might feel like all the stars have aligned a little bit more and I'll have some actual proper time off, which there's another benefit of working for someone else is you're kind of switching off from a job and feeling like you're having a break.
Yes.
Which I still will have Imeldo, but it will be dialed back a little bit. Yeah.
Okay, I have three more questions for you. The first is what are you doing to plan mat leave as much as you can for the business?
So I turn my wholesale off in the lead up, which is good timing because of Christmas. So I turn
Christmas
it off in the lead up to
out.
Christmas around November. I have a month to do them. We get them out for Christmas delivery and then I'm going to just keep it turned off for a little while, which is not great for my bank account, or I'll only accept a few orders. And then I'll keep online because it's so doable from home. So we'll always have that. It doesn't chew up my time. And I'll look, hopefully we've moved house and have a studio set up and it's all very easy. I can also make Cohen do online orders. So he can do them. And I ship from home. So like I just, everything's at home. Someone can run to the post office for me. None of that's really an issue. So that's what I have realized. That's quite easy to post. And I will be doing that. And it's not like I won't be working, but that I find will be okay.
Yeah.
And Hildy will be at daycare. Smith will be at school. I'll have a baby with me. I think we can make it work.
Cohen, as much as he has flexibility in his job, as you have just made us aware of, when he's on, he's on. And it's all on you. For anyone that has a partner that has a busy job that has to be outside of the home, what are your best tips for getting through that and for maybe preparing for it or maybe more like emotionally getting through it when you're feeling in a rut with the kids?
We get out of the house so much. Like if I'm solo parenting, I am out of the house like in every waking moment and generally with friends because I feel like time goes faster. You know, whether it's Arvo wine, the kids are entertained, snacks, or if it's morning, beach play, whatever, if it's winter and you're at the library, like it doesn't matter what you're doing, you're going out for a coffee. It's any activity. I just prefer being out of the house because I think everyone goes a bit mad. But when we're as like a family, we tend to stay home a bit more and look, Cohen probably wants to socialize more, but I'm like, no, time to stay home now.
Family time.
Family time. Let's all go crazy together. So, yeah. And then, I mean, my husband does night shift. So preparing for that is we have a very strict schedule now. The kids, like I get them bathed the minute we walk in the door. We don't go past the bathroom. We go straight into the bathroom, bath. I have easy dinner always prepared. We have frozen stuff ready. I eat, anyone that knows me, I'm like the most basic bitch when it comes to food. I could not care less. So I will have eggs on toast every time he goes on night shift or tuna, frozen veggies. Kewpie mayo, rice, sesame seeds. That is like a 5-minute meal and it is so delicious. And I don't care what anyone says, it is so good.
Yeah.
And no, I'm one all about second. That. So like that is me. I'm like a low maintenance person when it comes to night shift. Yeah. The minute we're all home, I'm like, I am a chef. And my level of chef is absolutely not chef.
And so my last question for you is any mums out there that are either thinking about starting a small business or have one. What are your best tips?
Start off getting your ducks in a row with your ATO and cash flow and accounting and all of those things because that has effed me over more times than I want to admit. And even if it means paying someone, like I wish I had paid someone from the start. I also think in this day and age, you have to realize it's not going to necessarily go great from the minute you start it. And be prepared to do content because you're going to have to do content. And we don't all love doing content, but we're going to do content.
Dawns, before we wrap up, thank you so much for sharing your story. Can you please tell everyone where they can find you?
You can find me. My website is www.ameldo.com or Instagram is @ameldodesign. And follow along. Tell me what you want to see, but I might not do it. Probably not.
Have a great mat leave and thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you so much. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Ready or Not. If you liked the show, please tell your friends, subscribe or write a review. You can also find us on Instagram at readyornot.pod. That's it for today. We'll see you next time.